Show Recaps Theater presents Movies. So many movies as reviewed for you by your friends at Post Show Recaps. Featuring Grace and Ariel and their incredible movie takes, we hope you enjoy the show.
That's right. Welcome back to Post Show Recaps Theater. My name is Grace. I'm here with my co-host, Ariel. Ariel, how you doing?
I'm doing great. I am mourning that the movie is now over, but I'm excited to talk about it.
You were able to take your mask off. That makes you breathe the water.
Yes, I am. I am the vaguely Mesoamerican person on this podcast.
Also, your name is Ariel, and Ariel's notoriously live under the sea. So
yes, yeah, we saw the trailer. I saw the trailer for it, and I was like,
"Me too."
God,
me say
goodbye before this. Yeah. Wait, who is that voice?
Yeah,
who
that is. I guess. we are here joined by a special guest. So welcome back to the podcast, Chantel. How are you doing, Chantel?
I'm fabulous. I'm actually really excited to talk about this movie, this experience. My experience going to see this movie was actually pretty wild. So yeah, I can't wait to get into it all.
Amazing. We're talking about Black Panther Wakanda Forever. Before we start chatting about the movie, we'll do a spoiler-free section. We'll recommend if you should see it or not. Oh, I think everybody is going to see this movie if you're going to the movies.
It's the only thing. You go to some theaters,
yeah,
and literally I've talked to people like, I really wanted to go see so-and-so, but I couldn't because everything they were showing was Black Panther.
Yeah.
On 10 theaters. Hilarious. Before we get into that, just want to say real quick, people should subscribe to the Post Show Recaps Theater movie feed. URL for podcast catchers, postshowrecaps.com/movies, or just search for Post Show Recaps Theater and it'll come up. Subscribe, rate, review. It's helpful.
Yeah.
Thank you.
That's what I was going to say. So this is great.
Oh my God.
Yeah, this is great. The synergy. We finish each other's plugs. This is great.
Sentences. Oh, damn.
Yeah. yeah, this movie is like, I have time, I think, to go see a movie now tonight. I went to go see, like, scrolling through all the Wakanda, Black Panther, like show times to get to the, like,
2D, 3D, 4DX.
I'd like to see Armageddon time, please, I think. Yeah. Yeah. Oh, you have one showing? Okay, cool. Okay. Yeah. But you know what? I really love this movie. I thought it was fun talking about Black Panther, Wakanda Forever. I think highly anticipated. The last movie, I think, in this phase. I think that's correct. This like ends phase.
Yes, that's right. This is the official end of phase four as far as the movies. Yeah.
Yeah. And then I don't know what that means because
what does phase four mean? Yeah, I just was like, you lost me.
I saw a preview for another Marvel movie, presumably the beginning of phase five. I don't know that the phases, you know, I don't know. I guess the thing about this movie is that it highly anticipated, I think, you know, partially because unfortunately Chadwick Boseman's death, and they decided not to recast T'Challa and decided to move forward in the movie. This is not a spoiler that T'Challa passes away at the beginning of the movie, and so what does that mean? Who is the Black Panther, all of that stuff. So they like super highly anticipated in that regard. The first movie, one of the few Marvel movies that gets nominated for an Oscar and Best Picture, and so it's kind of like, can Ryan Coogler do that again? Did he create some magic? Let's do our like spoiler free thoughts. Chantal, I'd be interested to you. I chatted to you when I said, do you want to come on and talk about this movie? And you said, yeah, maybe I should try to watch the first one, which I heard you watched half of it. So I think that's perfect. That's great because it is a very like, this is a very like sequel movie in a sense. But not because the first one like built up the sequel. There's like all the stuff that happened in the meantime that like set up this like highly anticipated sequel. So I'm interested to hear what you thought of the movie, spoiler free.
Right. You know. So I tend to want, the reason why I never really got into the Marvel movies is because there's just so many of them, and like I'm like, oh, I'm behind, and like I'd have to go and catch up and watch them all, and like what order do I watch them in?
It
like
it's stressful.
Like, it's so like I'm not an anxious person, but it gave me anxiety thinking like, if what if I get the order wrong? So I just never really dove into to them, and it wasn't just things that were around when I was growing up. It just wasn't what I was interested in personally. And so when you'd asked me to do this, I was like, yeah, okay, maybe I should do a little bit of homework here. And so I looked and I found like what you need to watch before seeing Wakanda Forever. And I was like,
that's probably a little bit of a long list, I think.
It wasn't that long, but I didn't get through it. But it was first Captain America Civil War.
Yeah.
And then it was Black Panther. And then there was a couple other movies, but I was like, okay, let me see those two. And then Captain America Civil War took forever. It was like 2 hours and like 15 minutes. And it was like, I was like, and I didn't find it to be good personally. I was like,
I love it. I love it. I love this already. I love this whole thing.
I'm not sure about this. I'm like, oh my God, this is so long.
This sounds like there was a civil war inside you as to whether you were even entertained.
Well, I mean, because like what I was entertained by is seeing Scarlett Johansson. I thought that was like loosely entertaining. Right. Okay. Everything else is like, wait, I remember when kids were all having these like, you know, Captain America superhero costumes. And I'm like, this is so violent. I'm like these car crashes and like these, like it was just so gratuitous, all these deaths. And I was like, wow, this is violent. And so I didn't really know what the storyline was. I'm like, what's happening here? Like, why do I need to pay this much attention to this movie that it's not actually captivating me? So
yeah, I feel like notoriously like a civil war movie means that there's been a lot to build up to the reason why there might be a civil war. And you kind of need to know both sides. So yeah, that's a funny one to jump into, I think.
Well, that's what it said on the list. So I was like, okay, let's
see. No, it is the introduction to Black. It's the first T'Challa appearance. Yeah,
exactly. Mm-hmm. So then I watched the beginning of Black Panther, and like the only reason why I didn't finish it was just time.
Yeah.
I just didn't have time this weekend to be able to get through the entire thing. And it kind of also leads into me going to the actual theater to see this movie. So I have a friend who's like, oh my God, we should see this together on Saturday night. And she's like, oh, there might be some really handsome, eligible Black men that might be going to this theater to go see this movie. Man. So let's make a night out of it. I was like, I'm not really great at watching movies past 7 p.m. in a theater because I will fall asleep. I have
Chantel, you are on the right podcast. Yeah.
Yeah. It's like
big sleeping crew over here.
I have like slight like my grandmother actually was narcoleptic, and so like I can really fall asleep very easily. And when you get super dark and cozy, I'm like, I'm just gonna close my eyes for a second. So I was worried about this because she went to go see the 11:15 showing in like IMAX with like
on the Thursday night.
On Saturday.
Still, I don't know. Because sometimes I can get the, like, because they used to do, like, still now I think it's very funny that movies would be like, it comes out this Friday. And then you could go to the theater on, like, Thursday night and absolutely buy a ticket to the movie because it used to be midnight showings.
Right.
And then they're like, but, you know, maybe you just see it at 7 o'clock. You know, I think, like, in the recognition of people like me, like, please.
Rules.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right? Yeah. So she's like, I'm like, can we compromise? How about 10 p.m.? And so we ended up going to see it at 10 p.m. And I had like a little bit of a hiatus from like what I was doing up until like I was in a class. And then I had like 4 hours until 10 p.m. And I was like, do I go home and nap? Like, I'm so worried because I'm like, I got to do the pod on Monday. Like, am I going to fall asleep? And so like, I was really, really worried. So I ended up going to, my best friend opened up a restaurant and I was like, sitting there and I was like, they're giving me like energy drinks. I'm like drinking energy drinks. And so I did go to the movie. I did not fall asleep once. I did not have to go to the bathroom. And that was 2 hours and 45 minutes before the commercial. So 3 hours in total. Wow. I was wide awake and I enjoyed every single moment of this movie. There's only one part, but I will be talking about that later because it would be a little bit in the spoiler section of this pod. But I definitely was engaged. I was captivated. I found that it wasn't gratuitous, like violence. It just, everything seemed purposeful. The story was, I thought, well told. I thought that the costume and the imagery, all of that was beautiful. Mm-hmm. And I thoroughly enjoyed, this is the first Marvel movie, I think, that I've thoroughly enjoyed. I've only seen 1.5 other than this, I think. But
we had a did it banner, Ariel. Like,
yes, Chantel, welcome to the MCU. A movie without going to the bathroom and without falling asleep. Yeah. And it's 2 hours and 45 minutes. Incredible stuff.
Thank you.
All right. We'll get into, as we get into the spoiler thoughts, I'm really interested. I'm trying to like think about like what part you didn't like. Ariel, what did you think of the movie?
I as usual, I was, or as sometimes happens with me, listeners will know, I'm very skeptical. I'm like, do I want to like this? And also, you know, we talked a little bit about it before.
Nobody watches a movie like us, Ariel. We're like, yeah, but what's the cultural context? But what's the, what are the themes? But are they doing
it? We're the only ones. We're the only ones.
That's right.
But I saw the teaser trailer and I was like, wow, if this movie is even like half as good as this emotional teaser trailer, I will be very happy. And obviously, like, the first movie for the most part is like universally, if not loved, it is universally regarded as a very important movie, as a movie that meant a lot to a lot of people for many different reasons. And I was like, it has a lot to live up to. And there's also the piece of, like, you know, there's this conversation in the air about like possible MCU slump and like, have they lost their way a little bit in phase four? And what does that mean for the future and all that? So there's a lot of pressure on this movie. I have to say, I liked it so much more than I thought I was going to. I have to be honest. I was like ready to be disappointed. That's how I live, unfortunately, in the MCU these days. I'm not proud of it. And I was like, this is so much of this is working. All the emotions, like I was riveted. And I'm really excited to talk about like how they use some of like the real world stuff in this and like tragedy and all that. But yeah, I was smiling. I was surprised. I was shocked. How about you, Grace?
I really liked it as well. I had high expectations. I mean, like Black Panther was really, really good. It's Ryan Coogler coming back. And there's obviously this huge piece that they have to figure out how to address in the movie. And I know one of the complaints that I was seeing was that there's kind of like the movie has like these two things, like it has to front load so much with like what happened with Chadwick Boseman. And so, you know, this is what they decided to do, which I actually think like is such a beautiful tribute to just Chadwick Boseman. Like not just it wasn't just Black Panther, which is like a hugely important, I think, superhero for a lot of people, but then just the Chadwick Boseman, who, you know, the fact that like he was filming his last movie, the last movie he would have been was Endgame, I believe, while he was sick. Like he knew he was sick and he you know, potentially was not going to go into remission. He was not going to get better, and he just filmed it. And I think there's like such, he's just like, I think such a vision of strength for many people. And so I am not really often an emotional person, and I get so friggin' emotional at the beginning of the movie and at the end of the movie. All the stuff that's related to specifically T'Challa I thought was like so beautiful. And I actually thought that like I think maybe worrisome was like the balance of those things of trying to like now pivot knowing that this thing happened. I thought the movie did it really, really well. I think this movie has one of my favorite villains in a really long time, and the villain who stars in this movie. And I'm really captivated by, you know, Black Panther, the original movie, is so much about like, is it better to be isolated or is it better to like work together with the world? And this is like a kind of like a continuation of that story, because we get this other entity that is thinking about the same thing. And then where Wakanda's presence is because of what they chose to do in the first movie. And so I thought it was like a really, really good story. I think the only piece is there's some controversy around the star of this film. And we'll get into some of that, because I think it's like there's some stuff in this movie that I'm like, I could not stop thinking about how stuff in this movie directly contradicts what like this person actually thinks in their everyday life, which we'll get to.
Now I understand, I think.
Okay. Yeah. But overall, I thought it was really good, and hopefully I feel like there's not much else we can say without spoiling it, but I think despite it being like obviously something people are seeing, there's like a million show times. I do think it's worth seeing. And it's like a spectacle. It's like really good. Yeah. I actually think
made a lot of money. It has great box office returns, which I think that's probably the least surprising thing about it.
Yeah, agreed. So I thought it was really strong. I thought it was good. Yeah. So let's spoil the movie, shall we? Where should we get? Yeah, let me, as Ariel likes to say, spill the PSRT. Let me give a quick recap of the movie. So the beginning of the movie, we see Shuri working on a cure for a disease that T'Challa has. Unfortunately, it doesn't come in time. T'Challa, the king of Wakanda, dies of an illness. She believes that if she had been able to develop the heart-shaped herb, which was was destroyed by Killmonger in the first movie. She would have been able to cure his illness, but alas, she has not. T'Challa passes away, he dies. Wakanda is under pressure to share their vibranium with the rest of the world since, you know, announcing that they are a country that exists and telling the rest of the world. And while this is happening, other countries are actually trying to attack Wakanda for the vibranium. Queen Ramonda urges Shuri to keep working. This is like a year after T'Challa's death. Keep working on the herb, but she believes it's not worth it. The Black Panther is a figure of the past, and she's not going to work on the herb. Meanwhile, there's an expedition looking for vibranium underwater. They are attacked by Namor and a group of blue-skinned beings from the nation of Talokan. Namor confronts Queen Ramonda, saying that they are to blame for the rest of the world looking for this vibranium, and they need to deliver the scientist who created this machine, or he's going to attack Wakanda. Shuri and Okie discover that the machine was made by a student named Riri Williams. They are pursued by the FBI and then Namor's warriors. Shuri and Riri are taken underwater to Talokan, Ramonda strips Okoye of her titles because she wasn't able to protect Shuri. Namor shows Shuri his kingdom, which has also been protected from discovery. They have lived in secrecy and seclusion away from everybody else. Essentially, the city of Atlantis, but not Atlantis. Copyright reasons. Yeah, Namor proposes an alliance between their nations. But also just but I'm just going to destroy Wakanda if you don't agree. So some leverage there. Shuri and Riri escape Talokan, and Namor does attack Wakanda, ultimately killing Ramonda in the process. FBI agent Everett Ross, is the FBI or CIA?
CIA.
Is arrested by a piece of information we learned. His ex-wife is Valentina, who has been showing up in various. And that got a good reaction in my movie theater, I will say.
I was shocked to see her pop up, but you know, yeah. I'm always happy to see Julia Louis-Dreyfus.
Yeah, I saw a tweet today that it was just a joke that said, everybody in my theater kept chanting, Elaine. Valentina's.
Yeah, I wish she had tried to dance.
Yeah, that would have been good. Shuri ultimately does finish the herb, consumes it, goes to the ancestral plane where she sees Killmonger, not exactly who she was expecting. And when she wakes up, she's given her superhuman abilities. Therefore, she is the new Black Panther. M'Baku pleads for peace, but Shuri wants revenge for Ramonda's death. And she invents these Midnight Angel suits so they can battle underwater. And Riri uses this suit, kind of an Iron Man type suit that she had showcased earlier in the movie as she goes to battle. They fight on this sea vessel. They trap Namor in a flying vessel and dry him out, essentially just a sauna and it weakens him. They fight on the beach, and although Shuri does get the upper hand and she could kill Namor, she decides to let him yield and let him live. Back home, his family is very upset that he yielded, but he insists that this new alliance will allow them to conquer the surface world. Riri returns to school without her suit, and Okoye rescues Ross. M'Baku challenges for the throne. We do not see that he wins the throne, I will say that. He is not technically the king at the end of the movie. Shuri visits Nakia, who's also recruited earlier. She wears one of the Midnight Angel suits earlier in Haiti because she's going to burn her ceremonial robe, but she also meets this little boy named Toussaint, who Nakia has been raising in secret. It turns out that is T'Challa's son, and his Wakanda name is actually T'Challa. And that is where we end the movie.
Oh,
yeah. Ariel, what did you think? You said you had high expectations for this movie, and this exceeded it. What'd you think?
I had very low expectations. Yeah. I thought all the emotional stuff worked so well. They got so much mileage as we were hoping they would, right? There's in your mind, there's this dissonance, right? Of you don't want them to kind of manipulate your emotions because of this real life death, but they kind of have no choice, right? They're not going to recast him, which is, to be clear, in my opinion, the absolute right choice not to recast him. But what do you do? You have to mine. And this has been said before. I don't remember where it was that I was reading it, but the idea of, for the first time, Marvel having to reckon with actual death and loss in a way that can't be just explained away as some other deaths have of we have this MacGuffin, this superhuman thing from space that brings people back from the dead. No, this person is dead in real life. They're not going to bring them back. And what does that mean for all these people around them? And all that emotional stuff worked for me. I cried so many times during this movie. Ryan Coogler did a really good job of he did this thing that could be annoying for some people, but really tight shots, very intimate shots, intimate moments with people. And I thought it was super effective. I was shocked. I was shocked. Like, that's all I kept thinking. I'm like, wow, I can't believe they did this.
Chantel, you were saying earlier, like, you know, you're with me in like, what does it mean for it to be the end of the phase, the beginning of a phase? I think, like, one of the interesting things, I think, is that they're the beginning of what they're calling the multiverse saga. This is the phase that we're so past the Infinity Stones saga. We're now in the multiverse saga. So all of these phases are part of that, presumably the next three. And I think it's really unfortunate for them to be in the multiverse saga, where it's like, we're about like Quantum Mania, the next Ant-Man movie, is potentially going to be about multiverse. It's like, well, wouldn't there be another T'Challa? I feel like it's so unfortunate that like this, the Chadwick Boseman death happens right at the beginning of like, you know, all of it. Cause I just couldn't help. And I know that like, I think we're all just like, we're all okay that like T'Challa will not appear in movies anymore, because that's like the right thing to do by honoring Chadwick Boseman. But I just thought that was really interesting. But I don't know. I think that the idea of like that it was going to be manipulative or hokey, or that they're pulling on our heartstrings. I don't know. I guess it could have been that. For me, it was so nice because it felt like such a tribute to Chadwick. It's really how I felt. Just not only that, what really got me is the like when it was the Marvel intro Ariel and it's just Black Panther, it's just Chadwick. I was like, oh, that's so good. It's so good. And then the funeral scene is so cool, because I think, you know, there's a world where like, you know, that we don't get a lot of like, you know, I think unfortunately, like Chantel, now you've joined us for like a Woman King, which is very much like and now like Black Panther, and then, like, you know, but I thought that like that the whole funeral stuff was like so good. I thought it worked exceptionally well, just as this tribute to Chadwick Boseman. And it's like almost like, yeah, this movie's like almost 3 hours, and I think there's another world where like it's shorter, but you just add in as much time as you need to just like get to do this thing for Chadwick Boseman and like pay tribute to him and what he gave to the MCU, and just let us sort of sit in that. I thought it was so good. And then the end got me so good, because I think so much is like, when you think about your death, it's like, okay, what is your legacy? And like Shuri becomes Black Panther, but now he also has this son who he wanted to keep away from what it was going to be like, because I'm like also watching The Crown, so that just feels incredibly like nice of him to be like, yeah, just go like live in Haiti for a while. So I don't know, I thought all of that stuff worked really well. But I'm really interested with you, who like, you just watched like half of Black Panther, and so like, did this like the emotional stuff at the beginning, like did it work for you, who's like much more of like an MCU casual?
I mean, yeah, I definitely think, for the fact that, you know, he's no longer with us in our world, I think that really played into how they featured him, and they really felt that they honored him, and it was really touching for me. So it didn't take me out of the movie, but like it really actually drew me into the movie. I loved how they had all the images of Black Panther, how it came through in the Marvel. Like, I thought that was like so epic, and I was like, who thought of that? Like, genius. Yeah. Like, I thought it stirred me up emotionally. And because I'm an emotional person, I know who this person, who Chadwick was. Right. I remember when he passed away, and like, and I can understand how, you know, he really affected this movie. Like, I saw enough of the first Black Panther to see what his presence was, and I understood who the Black Panther was when I was watching the beginning of this movie. And then when we cut to the ending of it, like I audibly cried at the ending,
because it's too good.
The kid is so cute that
he's
came out.
So cute. So much, looks so much like him. Like, right? They clearly went on the search. Like, okay, who can we find that looks like enough like Chadwick Boseman as a kid?
He had like presence for like however many old kid. Like, he's like so good.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Good. And so when he came around, I was like, oh. Okay, there's the new Black Panther. Like, I knew, I understand storytelling, so I knew that was most likely what was going to happen. And so I was audibly crying with like that whole, you know, moment that, when they're around the fire and he's like telling her his real name and all that stuff. I thought it was really beautiful. But what I mentioned in the beginning, that there was a part that like I didn't particularly like, is that I was really feeling amazing about Shuri being the new Black Panther. And I was getting behind that and like, oh, look what she's done. And like, look how she really changed how she was going to be treating people and like how she's going to be ruling as Black Panther. And like, I was just really kind of behind that. And it's like, not really. We're gonna give it to the new boy, and another man's gonna be the Black Panther. And so it just, like, I was just really happy up until that point that it was going to be her, and like it was gonna be something new that we hadn't seen before. And then we had introduced in a very beautiful moment, beautiful scene, absolutely, but it just kind of stripped away. Like, if there was ever another movie, it would probably be about their friction, about him becoming Black Panther and her being stripped of that title, kind of thing. And so that was my only disappointment. Right. But like, as a story perspective, I thought it was really well told. But when I'm looking just at the Black Panther part of it, I would have loved for Shuri to get her own series so, or her own whatever.
But I don't. It doesn't mean that the new T'Challa will be the Black Panther.
Not for a while. Right. I mean, the good news is he's only six,
right?
So he, like, stay in your lane, like, back up, wait a second. And also, it seems like Nakia, like, I understand, Chantel, to your point, that's just the kind of thing, like, I think from like a pop culture standpoint, that's the kind of thing that we're used to seeing. So like, it totally makes sense that people would think that. And maybe that is like a future thing and like, you know, many movies, but I think for now she absolutely is the Black Panther. And I think, you know, even if there is a sequel, a direct sequel, you know, as we know, the character of Black Panther will probably appear in other non-Black Panther movies, because that's just how these things go now. It will be her. Like, I think it'll be a while before we see him involved in any hero role. If anything, it might be like there's this like young event. You won't know about this, Chantal. It's kind of boring. But there's like this young Avengers initiative of like these like teenage kids who like have powers that they call
each other
at some point.
That'd be cool.
Like, maybe he's their name.
That'd
be
cute,
right? I'm into that, but I agree with you. Like, leave Shuri alone. And I my sense was, you know, her title is safe for a little bit. I certainly hope so.
That was the only thing that, like, I was just was like, oh, is it? Are we already stripping her away of that?
Like, wow, not even a whole movie, just
right?
Okay, but also I think what the movie did, maybe cut in a little bit more. And I know, like, yeah, this is all fiction, so she could decide. But it seems like by the time M'Baku goes at the end of the movie to be like unchallenging that. Shuri has already sort of been like, yeah, I'm not going to rule. I think it's like the idea, maybe they could have set that up, but like why she wouldn't want to rule. Because technically, like, I guess the throne should have passed to this new T'Challa because he's not but M'Baku, there's also this tradition that comes from the first movie where you can like challenge for the throne. You have to like fight in a battle. That's how Killmonger becomes the king of Wakanda for a bit. And so it seems like M'Baku is now, I want to make note that, like, doesn't seem like he doesn't fight anybody. He just says, I challenge. And that's the last we see of him. But presumably M'Baku is now the king of Wakanda.
But I like that. See, I hadn't even made that distinction in my head of like the Black Panther existing. Like, traditionally they have been the same person, but I don't think they need to be the same person. Like, I don't know how the rules work, but I think ostensibly she can continue to be the Black Panther and protect the country. And he could be like the day-to-day ruler of the country. And clearly they work well together. I loved their dynamic in this movie.
Yes. I guess on the Wikipedia, it says that Queen Shuri is actually still the head of state. So I don't know. Anyway, I'm with you. I do think there is a thing of like, you know, it does. Why can't she be the queen? And why wouldn't she be able to do it? But I thought a lot of the stuff with Shuri actually worked really well. And with Letitia Wright, I think unfortunately, you know, the beginning of the movie, though, and she's like trying to find a cure. It's like it only has 23% like work rate. And she's like, we'll do it anyway. And it's like, okay, well, you're kind of anti-vax, so let's just I don't know.
It sounds like this is not what she would actually do in this situation.
Yeah, I feel like they like totally like trolled her with the script of the movie.
So she got the script and she was like, absolutely not.
Yeah. But she has to carry a lot of the weight of this movie. Like, I don't know what the plan was for the Black Panther series, but this idea essentially that I think a really powerful one is like, what happens when you lose like everybody and everything around you? And like, obviously she still has like, you know, her friends, but she loses her brother and her mother in this movie, right? And just like, what does that push you for? And I thought the theme of, I love the stuff how it interplays with the first movie. Mm-hmm. And so when she sees her, you were like, she sees Killmonger, right? She does not see either T'Challa or Ramonda when she goes into the ancestral plane. And it's because Killmonger is the one who is going to like fuel, they're she goes like, yeah, cousin, we're like closer than you think. Like, you're doing this for revenge. You're going to go to war for revenge, right? Because ultimately at the end of the movie, like, they're kind of in the same spot with the telecons, and they were what Namor proposed. Other than that, Namor now knows that like Shuri is the most powerful. She calls her the most powerful person on the most powerful planet on Earth, right?
Powerful country, yeah.
And the most powerful country. So yeah, that's like I guess she like showed her. But she goes to war because she wants to kill this man. And ultimately, you get the moment, too, where she's, like, not going to kill the man who killed her mother. And I think that's a powerful moment. But I thought, like, there's a lot on riding on Letitia Wright in this movie and Shuri and the emotional weight that she has to play through by, like, you know, at the beginning, deciding not to try and find the herb and then ultimately doing that and gaining the powers herself and still wanting to go to war and then choosing not to. That I thought was, like, a really good story. I think to the point of, like, sometimes... Chantel, when you come into a movie, it's like you got to understand like a million other movies before this. But I think ultimately just this movie of like, why do you want to go fight this person? Is it because, you know, you're doing it for some moral good, or are you just doing it for yourself? I thought it was a really well-told story.
For nearly four decades, JMK Security Solutions has provided protection for homes and businesses. I know firsthand. I'm Jeff Beckman, and with my wife, Kim, we started JMK Security Solutions. Our attention to detail, service after the sale, and product knowledge are the foundation of our success. JMK Security has routinely been recognized as the best of Madison for security companies. We expect that trend to continue as the next generation, our son Jeffrey, takes over as president. Let us protect what is valuable to you. JKSecurity.com.
Since J&K Security Solutions opened in 1987, our attention to detail and customer service have been our strongest assets. I'm President Jeffrey Beckman. We'll always do our best to find the most efficient and cost-effective solution to every job we tackle. Whether it's security for your home or business, installing video surveillance, or being able to control your garage doors from your phone, we can help you feel empowered with simple and user-friendly technology. Let's work together to secure your home or business. JKSecurity.com.
For nearly four decades, JMK Security Solutions has provided protection for homes and businesses. I know firsthand. I'm Jeff Beckman, and with my wife, Kim, we started JMK Security Solutions. Our attention to detail, service after the sale, and product knowledge are the foundation of our success. JMK Security has routinely been recognized as the best of Madison for security companies. We expect that trend to continue as the next generation, our son Jeffrey, takes over as president. Let us protect what is valuable to you. JKSecurity.com. For nearly four decades, JMK Security Solutions has provided protection for homes and businesses. I know firsthand. I'm Jeff Beckman, and with my wife, Kim, we started JMK Security Solutions. Our attention to detail, service after the sale, and product knowledge are the foundation of our success. JMK Security has routinely been recognized as the best of Madison for security companies. We expect that trend to continue as the next generation, our son Jeffrey, takes over as president. Let us protect what is valuable to you. JKSecurity.com. For nearly four decades, JMK Security Solutions has provided protection for homes and businesses. I know firsthand. I'm Jeff Beckman, and with my wife, Kim, we started JMK Security Solutions. Our attention to detail, service after the sale, and product knowledge are the foundation of our success. JMK Security has routinely been recognized as the best of Madison for security companies. We expect that trend to continue as the next generation, our son Jeffrey, takes over as president. Let us protect what is valuable to you. JKSecurity.com.
Actually, I have to say though, with Shuri in the first movie, I only obviously saw, I don't know, probably like an hour and a half of it, so half of it. But I didn't think that she was as strong as I felt that she was in the second movie. Yeah. I thought that she really did hold this movie. She was the heroine. Like she definitely she captivated me. I believed her struggles, and so I thought that she really, really grew as like an actor in my eyes. Like she did become the Black Panther, and I don't know if that was just because, you know, she had more lines and she had more material to kind of work through to be able to become this character, but I definitely thought that she was really, really captivating in the second movie, in this movie. And in the first movie, I didn't think that she had these chops, so I thought I was very impressed by her on a whole. Another thing that I was impressed by is that all the cheesy jokes landed in this movie, because they usually are so bad in Marvel movies, but these ones I kind of chuckled at some of them. I'm like, oh my god, they got her
and Okoye, and then when they get Riri Williams involved, like I was actively, I agree with you, Chantal. Like, I was literally sitting there being like, oh my God, was that funny? Oh my God, it was funny. Okay, they're doing it. They're doing it. Because I'm like worried in the moment. Like, is this going to work? There's nothing worse than like them trying to be funny and it's just like awkwardly not good. So I agree. I thought the overall, the comedy worked really well in a way that Marvel, you know, Marvel's good at doing the funny. It's just sometimes, you know, in combination with other things, it doesn't work. But Cherie overall, the character and Lissa Shrey, her portrayal, I agree. Much better than I was expecting. It was another thing that I was nervous about. Like, this is a lot on her shoulders, not just the character, you know, like leading the country and being the Black Panther, literally this actress having to carry all these emotions. And I loved that twist where you see Killmonger, like in the, it makes so much sense that if she was feeling murderous, like literally it's bad enough that her brother died and her sense of loss and guilt and her not being able to do anything about it or not being able to do enough. And then the way that she loses her mother, like arguably in the plot, it's almost like one thing too many. Like, oh my God, this poor family, this poor girl. Like, and this is after Queen Ramunda, who is like, I am queen of the most powerful nation in the world, and my entire family is gone. Like, she has that line, and then Letitia, mm-hmm. and then Cherie has to like now carry the weight of her mother dying on top of it. So I think the rage that she's feeling. And like that causing Killmonger to be connected to her via the ancestral plane because of, if nothing else, her emotions rings so true. Like, you cannot fault this character for feeling that angry after everything that has happened to her. And I was really honestly surprised that that all worked, because Killmonger is a character for me, honestly, that didn't work all the way in the first movie. I think there are some, you know, Michael B. Jordan, obviously an incredible actor, but some moments with the character I didn't love. And to see him, I was kind of like, oh no, he's back. And then I'm like, oh wait, it's working. Okay, I'm enjoying it. Okay, this is great. I love it. I love it. So yeah. Compelling. Yeah. So compelling for me to her. Such a twist for her to like learn. It's almost like she took the good, what little good he was trying to teach her. And she was able to kind of, you, or the bad really that he's trying to teach her, and use it for good in a way, like have it drive her. I think is super compelling and super interesting.
Yeah, I like that. Let's talk a little bit about Namor and the Talokans, because that's like, you know, the thing that is ultimately going to cause. I don't know what this movie is if it's not for Chadwick Boseman passing away. Like, there's such a story about Shuri and all the loss she's facing, and struggling with that. But the thing, the person she wants revenge on, is Namor, who I will say is probably my favorite villain, MCU villain in a rather long time. Mm-hmm. It was like really, really compelling. And it's like, certainly I could see the world where like you say that it's like a little too much like the first movie of like this nation that that it is the battle between like, are we kept secret versus what, you know, and this is where we need to keep secret. And if you don't basically make sure that like we can maintain our grasp on vibranium, that like I'm going to destroy you and kill you. But I thought he was really strong. I think a really tough break for Ryan Coogler to be like, all right, here's what I got. Blue people in the water. And then...
Yeah, yeah, and then Way of Water.
It's like literally the preview. Yeah, the preview before I go watch is like about Avatar, The Way of Water. So I think a little bit tough with like some comparisons that I think will be made, because certainly I presume that like, I mean, Avatar and even the previews, I'm like, frig, it looks so good again. I'm like, oh, it looks so good.
Better than the other way around. Worse it would have been if Avatar's new one came out first, then it's like, oh, well, they did it first, that kind of thing.
That's true. But I loved Namor. I think he's like, he's just this really cool look at, like, sometimes all you need is for the villains to be like cool. They need to like look powerful, which I think he certainly does. He's like flying around. I thought he was great, and like a really cool performance. I know there's some talk online earlier about this movie actually being a commentary on like Black and then Latino and Hispanic cultures, like why they need to, like, you know, allyship and stuff like that. I don't know if you read into anything like that, but I thought Namor was like really great, really strong. He just looked cool and was powerful and badass, and he just seems to be beat by Black Panther at the end. So, and he was. Yeah,
I love this idea of, like, to your point a little bit, like, oh, people saying this is just the same. No, to me that's so compelling, this Wakanda thinking they're singular in this way, and of course in some ways they are. certainly in like their part of the world, but for a, in a different part of the world, this like Mesoamerican Latin culture that the Telecon people have, it's so compelling to me. And like for Wakanda to be like, oh, so maybe we're not the only ones, but also they're so different from us. But even though they're the same, like I love the idea of this culture and like having to preserve, you know, especially as we talk these days about like indigenous culture specifically and how they were completely wiped out. They go into a little bit in this movie of like, you know, they brought smallpox and the character of Namor's mother and how she passed and the thing that even drove them to eat the vibranium tinged flower, basically, right? For lack of a better word, and that gave him these powers. And it's like beautiful. Like I actually got emotional. Like as a land person, I was like not expecting to feel any kind of connection, probably, you know, stupidly so, but
with
I was
the,
just,
with
like,
the guy with pointy ears who's flying around
with the feather, with the feather feet, right? Just like fighting to keep your culture alive, even let alone you know, like the history and all that and how that so rings true for like actual cultures. You know, here in the US we have like reservations of indigenous people, and like the idea of it's almost more important, like in Wakanda, you know, they have like the basically like a bubble that keeps them from the outside looking quote unquote normal, like not a technologically advanced country. But here it's like fully hidden in a place that people cannot get to without like very specific equipment. And it's like beautiful. Like he's not just fighting, and you feel like I did, you feel so much his struggle, even more than the Wakandans, of like, I really do have to protect these people. I have to protect our history. We are singular in the world. And it's like beautiful. Like I completely understood his motivations, even though sometimes I'm like, okay, don't kill that person. That's not.
Yeah. Well,
don't kill them, please.
Good villains. Oh, I'm going to like butcher the thing I heard, but it's like, you don't need to empathize with them, but you need to understand why they do what they do. Right. If it feels completely like a black box in there, like that doesn't work. And so it's like, you need to understand the point where like, how did you choose, you know, choice A when I would have chosen choice B if we're in the same situation, right? You chose to like, you're going to kill all the Wakandans. And I'm like, maybe not, but like, okay, I see how you got there, you know? Chantel, what'd you think of like the villains, the bad guys?
Well, I have a question. Yeah. And it feeds into that. So whenever I think of these superheroes, I always think that they originated from comic books. Now, did these blue water people originate from a comic book, or is this new concept that came into just this film?
I think as usual, I'm pretty comfortable saying that there are probably things about them that they change. Like the MCU has been a little bit like the broad strokes will be the same, but they'll change things to kind of fit like the pre-existing universe a little bit. But I know for a fact myself, Namor is a character that exists. He has basically all these same powers. They even call out the fact that he's a mutant. Now this is, I'm gonna put on my nerd sunglasses. They use the word mutant, which hasn't been used before in an MCU movie as far as I remember. It was only used in a certain
mutants not come
Disney
up in Doctor Strange
show.
Did you go with Doctor Strange?
Come up in Doctor Strange? I don't remember,
because we meet a pretty famous one, I think, in Doctor Strange. I mean, it sounds like I'm gonna spout the spoil.
Yes,
movie
no we do, but what I was just about to say was like, before this, like it was like X-Men are mutants, like they're the most famous example of mutants, and then like there is a certain Disney Plus show that like first uses the word, and here I actually thought it was like shoehorned in a way that I didn't love, but like clearly they're trying to open the door for this thing of like he's a mutant and that's why he has some of these powers, and mutant like speaking to a specific genetic mutation is very exciting and very interesting. And also the fact that they don't explain it, it's like the seed, you know, speaking of plants growing, it's like the seed that they plant and then that's it, they leave it alone. So yes, to answer your question, he is absolutely a person that exists in the comics.
He's
and a
very
character
old.
That a lot of people old. Were excited to see. And Tenoch Huerta, his name, The actor who plays him did a great job as far as I'm concerned.
Definitely think he did a great job. And that makes me enjoy it even more so for the fact that they were able to really weave in a pre-existing character and story and history of a character to bring it into this world. And it made sense. So I just thought that they might have created this character for this particular movie. And then I was like, okay, so they, you know, but the fact that they were able to weave something was already pre-existing, I think that's really, really cool. And I enjoyed it. Like, I was able to be taken into this world. I loved going underwater. I was thinking more so, you know, the Atlantans, you know, people in the city of Atlantis. And I thought that that was kind of where my head was going, because I think those are green people that they used to live there. I'm not sure. Yeah. I don't know. But, you know, I definitely
more of a green blue than a blue green.
Right, right. Sorry. Yeah, you got that. I would have liked to see a little bit more of the underworld makings. Like, I thought that that was really cool, just seeing where they would live underwater. I definitely felt that it was really strong how they were able to weave in this new character. And I thought that I really liked him. And I was like, I was mad at myself for being like, but no, I can't like him because like he's going against the Wakandans, and like I love the Wakandans. Like, and so it allowed me to have a little bit of that back and forth, push and pull, like loving the enemy. And then in the end, how they became friends, but like I feel like it also still left the door open for there to still be a battle between them. And so I thought they did a pretty good job with them weaving those two, the good versus evil. And I like these new blue fish people.
Uh-huh. So Namor, it was like in the comics, I believe, and so somebody can totally correct me if I'm wrong, but it looks like it was Atlantis and they were Atlanteans. For whatever reason that was changed in the cinematic version. But speaking of Namor, he's like one of the oldest Marvel creations. He first appeared in April of 1939, so wow. He has been around for a very long time. And yeah, to your point, Eric, there's a lot of people who are like waiting for Namor to show up at some point in something.
And yeah, in Endgame, they did Okoye's character has this very like throwaway line of, yeah, there was a disturbance at the in the ocean tectonic plates, but we're investigating that. And everybody was like, oh my god, it's them! They're here!
and what I will say is I was very excited because when Shuri like blows up the device that they like crash in, and like I was like, oh, that's it, like he's dead. So I was very happy to see that it works so well for the story of like, it's a pretty classic tale of like, I want revenge. It's like, will revenge actually give you what you want? If you kill this person, will you actually be happy? And probably not. And so she chooses not to. And then we do get like a little bit of a beep being like, don't worry, this alliance actually like super benefits us. I think it's like very fun. I don't think Namor is like the big bad, but presumably he's around. Really tough to like figure out like where people are going to show up moving forward with like how much Marvel Cinematic Universe stuff there is and planned. But I was very excited to see that like potentially that it's seemingly not the end of Namor. So
no, not at all. And like I think to date the MCU has done a really good job of explaining within the universe why certain characters or certain things haven't occurred. So like here it's like, well, Wakanda, you revealed yourself and you caused this problem with the vibranium, and then we had to reveal ourselves. So like I love the way that they're able to, it's tricky as the universe gets bigger and the multiverses get larger and more complicated, you have to have reasons of like, well, where was this person the whole time if they're so powerful?
Well, a really good example is that I feel like people, I really loved Eternals, but I know people were like, why the heck didn't the Eternals help out with the friggin' what's his name? With Thanos. And then this one, they're like, yeah, we were friggin' hiding from you because you're like destroying our culture. So no thank you that we would be involved in fighting Thanos. So one of my criticisms of the movie, and this is very slight, but I think like you got Lupita Nyong'o like in your cast. She's like not really in this movie until the end. I feel like I thought she could have been.
Yeah,
I feel like she could have been much. I mean, they're serving a lot of. There's a lot of people in this movie, like between Okoye and Riri and Ramonda and Shuri and Nakia and M'Baku and like the whole Ross and Valerie thing. Like, they're doing a lot in this movie. But I just Lupita Nyong'o is like one of the greatest actresses.
Absolutely. I would have loved to see more of her for sure. And maybe even some flashbacks with his mother and her mother-in-law kind of thing. Yeah. Like I would have maybe liked to see like that moment where she's fleeing to Haiti or something like that. Like I would have liked to see a little bit more of like why she got there and how she got there. I did think it was amazing though, that they actually used Haiti for all those scenes. Like I thought that was a really nice touch. And I thought it brought a lot of positive energy to Haiti and the Haitian culture. So I thought that was really cool, but I agree with you, Grace. Like give me more Lupita, please.
Yeah. Speaking to that point though, I love when she shows up and it felt very like Alias, like Spy, where she shows up, she's talking to the woman and she's wearing the glasses and she's super nerdy. Like, oh my God, I'm so sorry to bother you. Yeah. I want to ask you some questions about this thing. And I was like, yes,
Lupita, you're Spanish? Spy. Yes.
Exactly. Oh my God. Yes. She was speaking Spanish. I totally forgot. I have to say, as a Spanish speaker, very impressive accent work from Lupita. Ooh, I was like, damn.
Because she's one of the greatest actresses of our time. Chantal, I have a trivia question for you.
Oh, boy.
This movie sets up a future MCU TV show. It has already been announced that the TV show, it has the name, and based on what people, when people saw the character in the movie, they know that, there's a TV show coming. Do you know who the TV show, if you had to get, who would you build a TV show about based on this movie?
Well, I mean, it would have to be Lupita then, if we're talking about that, like on her journey, like as a mother and potentially raising the next Black Panther
I'll
or
give
not.
You a clue. Oh, okay, somebody, so that's wrong. It's somebody new. It's somebody new that we made in this movie.
Lupita, I love Lupita. You don't have to go do a Disney Plus show.
I know. I will say real quick, not to interrupt the quiz, but like.
Yeah.
I love actually
I would love that actually
they, that they had an in-universe reason. Like ultimately, I think the most compelling thing isn't the most compelling thing about the ending isn't just that T'Challa had a son and that he purposely was like, please keep him away safe. It's that like they keep saying, and like to our point a little bit, there's the real world, like why isn't Lupita in this more? And then there's like the in-universe thing of like, why isn't like Nakia in this more? And it's like, it was too painful for her. You're like, okay, I get that, but it was painful for everyone. Why weren't you around? Because she had this kid to protect. So beautiful. It is such a beautiful moment where she's just like, it wasn't even about me. Like, it was about this child. Oh, like,
I do think that's really good. And actually, some of the best, you know, when there's like a reveal, like, this is a reveal at the end, right? That T'Challa Jr. exists. And the reveal there, it actually does, like, I only watched this movie once, but if I went back and watched it, I'd be like, oh, that's why Nakia isn't in a bunch of this movie. Like, that makes so much sense because raising a kid in Haiti, you know, that, you know, so the best reveals are stuff that, like, once the information is seeded, you're like, oh, that all makes a lot of sense. Makes me appreciate the movie even more. Yeah.
Right.
So I think then it's going to be the Disney Plus new show will be Ironheart gets drafted by the CIA.
Yes!
Is it?
You did it, Chantal. Yeah. Well, I don't know about the CIA part.
I don't know, but it's
Ironheart. It's Ironheart.
Yeah.
You did it. You're an MCU. You're officially here. You've graduated from MCU casual to MCU pro.
So there, there's a lot of this, Chantal, that I don't know. I'm trying to think, like, I feel like I think Doctor Strange did this with America Chavez. That's the character's name. Am I getting it? Or is that the actor?
Yes, America Chavez. Yes, yes.
Okay, yes, I'm thinking
not America Ferrera, the actress.
Isn't that traveling of the pants? No, I'm right.
Yeah, that's right. Doctor Strange in the Multiverse of Madness did sort of the same thing, where it's like this new character shows up instead of a sidekick, and then presumably with this idea that like at some point they'll be in their own thing. So that's happened with America Chavez. I think it's like very mixed reactions on whether the America Chavez stuff worked in Doctor Strange and the Multiverse of Madness. I thought that the Riri stuff mostly, the Ironheart stuff mostly did work in this movie. I'm always like a little like when like you know, I guess 19-year-olds can invent things and be very smart. So I shouldn't slag them.
But seem like to me like a 19-year-old. Like when they were like, how old are you?
She's so smart.
I was like, you're probably like 25-ish. Like, I don't know if you're.
But they're, you know, whatever.
Drag her, Chantal. Drag her. For
whatever.
Her age.
They're superheroes. It's fine. But this idea of like, I mean, I guess Black Panther shows up like in Americans, in Civil War, American Chavez Civil War. No. in Civil War, right? And then it's like, okay, now the origin story is going to come. I think Black Widow, the same thing. Like she's in something else before it's her own thing. So, you know, I don't know that I'm like, oh, yes, the Ironheart TV show, but I thought good enough to make, like, I'll probably check it. I mean, I check out everything, but actually, yeah. So what do you think of Ironheart, Ariel?
I was like, oh, I don't know about this person. And I know people are going to like be up in arms. It's like, oh my God, she's trying to replace Iron Man. Is it impossible? I thought she was so funny. Again, like her, she got really lucky as far as I'm concerned that she got to act against Okoye, who who played Michonne on Walking Dead. The name is Casey, excuse me. Incredible actress, and also Letitia Wright. So like super funny, their interactions. I also just love all the female energy. Queen Ramonda, like when the three
there
women,
was a lot. Yeah,
Okoye, Shuri, and Riri are all like working together and escaping. Like there was so much of like women working together and women in power, and how, and that was beautiful to see for me. I guess ultimately to answer your actual question, I was pleasantly surprised by Riri's character and how much I loved her and how charming she was. So I think I'll be checking out the show.
Yeah. Yeah. What do you think, Shanta? Are you like, going to check out the Ironheart show? Yeah.
I mean... Shanta, listen, there are steps. You watch the movies, you don't have to watch all the shows.
I know. Right. I mean, I do. I definitely appreciate a good spinoff if it's done well. So I might, now that I've been introduced to this character, I might stumble onto the first episode to see how it goes. But I personally, I wasn't that in love with Ironheart. Like, I thought that she was obviously important to the storyline, but I felt that she didn't land all of her jokes as well as the other people did in this season.
Yes. In a way, opinion. If anything, that may, I kind of agree with that, but in a way that if anything, but, and this is probably too generous to read, but like, one, it made the veterans look even better, and agreed. Two, it was like, yeah, you can't come here and expect to just like fit in. Like, take a step back, okay? Like, you're the youngin. You're the youngin, and you have to earn your place. But I think if anything, that like shows her age, right? Like that maybe is what a 19-year-old would act like.
Okay. We'll give that a little bit. Because like even when she was in like the dorm and she's holding like the radio or radiator? I can't remember.
Right.
Holding, whatever. But like all the jokes and stuff like that, there, like it landed for the other two that were coming in there. They were talking about like her makeup and all that. Like that was all. It was really funny. But then like I was like, it just didn't match for me, but maybe you're right. Maybe it was just to allow the other people to have a little bit of a stage to shine. So I will check out the first episode. I don't know if I'm going to be ripping through the whole
season. Committing here on pod. So this is a binding agreement, as everyone knows.
Got you.
I mean, I have Disney Plus, so that's a start.
That's the first step.
Now, the only problem with Disney Plus, though, is that like, it's not with my, like I had to like go and press like input twice. And then like, I had to like find another remote. And like, it is really annoying to get access to Disney
Chantel
Plus.
With the hot takes. Like, Disney Plus is not.
Sounds like Ariel and I trying to watch Weird, the Yankovic on the Roku channel last week. Yeah. I thought if there's anybody you could cut from this movie, I feel really bad saying this about Julia Louis-Dreyfus, but I don't know that there was a certain, that felt the even
that
more
felt shoehorned in. That felt
even
shoehorned
more
in.
So than knowing there's a full friggin' TV show with Ironheart. I was like, this feels really a lot about everything else that's gonna come. Like the whole like Ross and Valerie like sparring, having a little bit where she gets him arrested. That's the whole thing, right?
Even it's like, the fact that they were married before, which I appreciated in the sense of like, okay, at least they gave it like a connection within the story. And you know, Everett Ross, like he does a perfectly good job. Martin Freeman's a great actor.
Yeah.
And then they bring her in and it's like, we were married before. I'm like, okay, I guess. Yeah. Like that's better than nothing.
Yeah. And I think probably the biggest that's presumably it for Angela Bassett in the MCU as Ramonda.
I have to say, she looked like gorgeous, and she is an amazing actress. But there was a couple points where I was like, oh my God, Tina Turner looks so awesome in this movie. Like, and like, that's kind of what I was thinking sometimes, just like, because sometimes when you get these super big superstars, I can't, I just see their superstardom. And so like, I just like,
oh, I have this about The Rock. I say this every time that he'll be like, my name's Frank and I run a jungle cruise. Like, nah, like, you're The Rock.
Right. Yeah. So, but I thought that she looked gorgeous. I love that the white hair on her looked like,
yeah,
so regal and like, so regal. And phenomenal.
Mm-hmm. You said earlier that this movie is like, this feels like the most like women centric MCU movie we've had. I mean, Black Widow, I agree. I was like trying to like check myself as I'm saying, I'm just trying to like,
through the things. Yeah.
But this is so good. And not only that, like Chatel, they all looked incredible. Like the outfits when they go, when Okoye and Shuri go to like get Riri at the thing and then like drive away and all their different, and I'm like, God, these women all look incredible. They're so good.
So lucky.
The costuming and the visuals of this movie, I think, hold up to a lot of stuff, and in many ways, like, surpass a lot of stuff we can see in MCU. There was I think it was Doctor Strange. I was like, this felt unfinished in many ways. This movie did not feel unfinished to me. So, I thought it was like a beautiful film. Yeah.
So pretty. I think they'll definitely get some Oscar nods for cinematography and costuming, 100%. Do you think that they're going to get some Oscar nods for any like the performances, or how do you think about that?
Gosh, I don't know if anybody in particular stands out for me.
I mean, Angela Bassett, I think, is
for her body of work, though.
Yes, that's the kind of thing, absolutely, where like those award shows, especially the Oscars, sometimes they like to, as you just said, Chantel, like you're kind of rewarding a body of work as opposed to like a specific performance. And she's a known quantity, obviously a very well-respected actress. I'm trying to think.
I don't know.
I think she's the only one as far as I'm concerned.
So I think very interestingly, this movie comes out in the fall. And I think that there is a way in which they are positioning this in the same way sort of last year, No Way Home, trying to get some run at being nominated. I would not mind this movie being nominated for Best Picture. I don't think any of the actors get a nod. I think certainly like costuming, score, any of that stuff, I think that it certainly could get a nomination, but I think this is one of those ones where like I thought Letitia Wright was really good. I don't think she's like, you know, at the same level as some of the other performances.
No, she's good enough for the movie, but Oscar.
Oscar's
tricky. But speaking of her,
yes,
what do we think? I think, you know, as we're like rounding out the conversation here,
yeah,
her as Black Panther, what do we think ultimately? Because we talked about like her performance, yes, and what she has to bear and the acting and all that, but like physically, finally, she constructs the herb, she's able to, and in a way that like for me called out like Endgame when Iron Man like figures out the 90 whatever percent of like time travel, right, multiple travel, whatever. Right. It's like, oh my God, 98% sexual. Like, oh my God, I'm getting emotional here. Sorry, dumb thing. But she becomes Black Panther and she shows up and it's like, I'm worried that I'm not going to buy it, but I bought it. I was pleasantly surprised.
I definitely bought it. I guess because I was so into the movie, I was really, I was awake, you know, I was able to, I didn't doze off at all. So I was really like feeling for like her journey. I was on the journey with her. And so like, I kind of got a little bit of like shivers when, you know, goosebumps when she put on the suit and like, you know, I don't know. She definitely filled it out in my opinion. And I was with her and I was like, I think that she did a good job. And I think the movie also did a good job with like really presenting her in a way that was like, yes, she is the Black Panther. Like we could see it coming out of her and her becoming that new persona. Mm-hmm. So I'm with
amazing.
It. Yeah, the suit was so cool.
The yellow flourishes on it looked really cool.
Yeah, the gold. The fact that it's calling out Killmonger again, I thought was like so compelling because it was unexpected. Like you think, okay, she's going to, you know, do something more like her brother, but she's her own person. And she's like, maybe Killmonger is kind of like my spiritual like guy.
Yeah. I know it also is really like silly, but like throughout this movie I was like, oh, there's so many good Halloween costumes I could be wearing here. And like, I'm not even joking though, I was like,
no, it's beautiful,
that's a good costume.
Like, yeah, and to that point, like the Tolokan people in the city, like those costumes and the headdresses, like it all looked, it's such a beautifully rendered new race. One thing we didn't talk about, I just want to call it very quickly, was like the singing that they do, the Namor's people, that they, it's actually like, you know, to hypnotize and drown people, but something so beautiful about it and really affecting. I thought that was a really cool effect.
But also, the funeral with like everybody dancing. I was like, this is it's such like a beautifully
the joy.
Like, yeah, again of like you know, just like celebrating, you know, not white people. It's kind of, you know, it's cool to see in these movies to like celebrate these other cultures. I just thought it was really cool. In terms of like, I am excited. I think the like kind of fun now is like trying to see like, okay, where does Black Panther show back up? Like currently there's not another Black Panther movie on the docket, though you have to think with the success of this movie that there will be. But there is a movie in 2024 called Captain America New World Order. And I do think that to me, just the name of it, I don't know comic stuff. So I don't know, like, you know, once they're like, oh, we're doing this thing, I'll like maybe sometimes go and read. But like, it's kind of fun to sort of be like half in and half out in a way. But that certainly seems to me as like Namor is like, oh, yeah, don't worry, we'll take over the world. Like, I don't think that he is the New World Order. I think that's probably more like Illuminati stuff from Doctor Strange. But that I think there's a lot there.
But it would be weird if it didn't come up. Yeah.
Right, especially with the new Captain America, right? Anthony Mackie, Sam Wilson, right, being the first Black Captain America, and how, you know, that was a thing in the TV show about like, you know, would America accept a Black Captain America? I think something has happened. I think I could see some crossover there in terms of as there's like a new world order per se, that Black Panther shows up in that movie, I think would make a lot of sense before they start getting into some of these full on Avengers movies that are going to show up again, I think in like 2025, 2026. So
for now, we'll see. Yeah. That'll probably get pushed.
Yeah, that's right. Anything else? Do we miss anything else from Black Panther Wakanda Forever?
I just want to call out M'Baku's interactions and his relationship with Shuri as it goes on. Like, we get to the end and he's like, listen, I swore to your brother that I would like guide you, not help you. Like, he specifically says, offer you counsel, which is like giving her, you know, leaving space for her and like keeping her agency in it. Like, it's not, I'm here to like tell you what to do. I'm here to offer you counsel, because her brother knew that she might need that. I thought was so beautiful and so warm, like so much warmth from Winston Duke, who obviously we already know is a great actor and having so much fun in this role. His whole, you know, tribe of people and how they're a little bit different than everybody else. When he called,
funny too. That was
when he called, yes, I was just gonna say, when he calls Okoye a demon. I died laughing. Like, he's so good. And that was such I talked about a little bit about like those things that like surprised me. That was a big thing that surprised me. I love when like new pairings of characters come out, and like this Shuri and M'Baku you know, relationship, I thought was so rich and really lovely, honestly.
Yeah, I enjoyed them as well. And like, I definitely, whenever he came onto the stage, he has such a big presence. And and I was like wondering, what is he going to do? What is he going to say? Like, he definitely commands the screen. Like, he holds a lot of space, and like, he's a big, big character. And I appreciated watching him. And I was definitely captivated every time he came on the screen. So
M'Baku, he said his intention of this film is to, he tweeted this the other day, that his intention is to be a vent for the pressure cooker. And so he was informed to improvise a lot. And New Bald-Headed Demon was absolutely improvised, like fully.
Yes.
Of course it was. It was so good.
It was so good.
Yeah. He's eating the carrot when he says that line.
Yes.
Well,
I think somebody under that tweet was like, oh, the carrot's a great like supporting actor. And
very, very good. Okay, well, Chantal, now that you're our MCU correspondent, this is could go back and watch She-Hulk. Yeah, you go watch She-Hulk. And yeah.
I don't know if I can watch. I mean, can I? Like, should I? I don't know if I can. I don't.
Right.
Know.
Can we?
Here's what we'll do. You we'll chat afterwards, and we'll take like, what are the things you liked about this movie? Because I think, you know, we're like running a little bit short on time, but I do think, like, I hope people aren't like, oh my gosh, PSR, you didn't get the like MCU, like you didn't watch everything or whatever. But it's the reality that these are the highest grossing films, and like there are people who are going to it who don't watch everything. And I think it's like an important perspective that like what gets people to go out. Like, your friend is like, yeah, this will be fun. Let's go. Like, like watch Black Panther. It is the type of movie. I was traveling last week, and people are like, what are you doing? Like, I know you have Friday night. What do you? And I was like, hey, I think I'm gonna try and go to the movies. And I'm like, I know it's not like a travel, you know, I'm traveling, I'm gonna go see a movie. Like, no, I also wanted to go see it, you know?
Yes.
Yeah. So, you know, I think certainly, you know, and we talk about this all the time, Ariel, that like there's only certain types of movies that are really like really breaking through. Mm-hmm. And weirdly, it's like MCU and horror is like the two things that are like kind of can get people, and horror on a much lesser extent. Like, it's breaking through because like their budgets are like $5 million, they make like 15. So like,
right.
like, what a success, you know?
Right. Wow, what a groundbreaking thing. Yeah, but I think you know, if you're looking for a little bit more of the nerd take, we invite you to listen to Everything Is Super. They're always covering the Marvel shows, the Marvel here on Pusher Recaps, the Marvel shows, the Marvel movies. You know, as usual, we're just talking about it in the context of every other movie that we watch. So, the films, the talk.
Standalone films.
Yes. All right. Amazing. Chantel, thank you so much for joining us. If people are interested in hearing more from you, where can they find you?
Definitely on Instagram at ShanFriendFran has all my links. I do a lot of different things. Over on YouTube, I do have a channel, Reality Realness with 3 S's. Subscribe and ring that bell. I go live all the time to talk about a whole bunch of different things. So yeah, just join me over there as well.
Amazing. Ariel, what about you?
Fantastic. I am on Twitter for now, at that other Ariel. I am covering The White Lotus here on Pusher Recaps with my co-host Dr. Amanda. We're, you know, 3 episodes in at this point. I'm really enjoying the second season. I guess this is a thing with me. I'm pleasantly surprised at how much I enjoyed the second season.
It's good. I like that you say your expectations are very low. It's good.
Yeah, sometimes it's honestly, you know what it is? I don't like being hurt. Okay. Like, sometimes I set myself up like with these high expectations, and you're just setting yourself up to be hurt.
My favorite was when we came back surprised. We came back and we did our second episode of Push Recap Senior. Like, I really had low expectations. This was very fun. No.
Exactly. Jungle Cruise. No. I'm trying to think of what else. Yeah, some other stuff coming up, but I think that's
Oh, 18. You can.
Oh, yes, 1899. Yeah. We already did our kickoff show.
We've been so excited about this show that I felt like it was under wraps for a long time. Yeah.
If you're a fan of the show Dark on Netflix, which you should be if you're a human, highly recommend. The same showrunners are just coming out with a new show on the 17th called 1899. Really excited about covering that with you, Grace, and our other co-host, DM Philly. So super excited about that. I'm so excited. I'm really nervous. Similarly, I don't want to get my heart broken.
A sequel.
I'm scared. Grace, what about you?
Interview with the Vampire. Rich and I recorded our the season finale of that show. It's been very, very good. It was very enjoyable first season. So we talked about that. We'll have some additional feedback coverage. The Crown dropped. LaTanya Sarks and I chatted about the premiere. Shannon Gus, who was also traveling, is going to come back, and the two of us will go through the rest of the episodes together. Really excited to be on board for Shannon's first scripted TV show coverage, full season. So that will be good. House of the Dragon coverage. I don't think it's over. As Mike Bloom likes to say, the dragon has a long tail. So perhaps keep an eye out for some more House of the Dragon coverage. Yeah. And over on Rob as a podcast, have Roll Call, a board game, a show, where we play different board games. We played Clue and we've played Settlers of Catan, and we'll play something else this month, TBD, what we were playing. You can catch all the replays of that either on the Twitch or YouTube channels. I know you're on the list. You're coming.
You're on the list.
Yeah, that's right.
Nice. Now you're on the MCU list too.
That's right. We're playing that new, Marvel's card game. That's based on Marvel's Gathering. Actually,
it's like Guess Who, but it's Marvel.
Oh, God, I'd be so bad. I'd be like,
All right, we're going to wrap up. I think, Ariel, there's more movie coverage on the way. I'm not sure what we're covering later this week, but I'm sure there's a lot of
that. I know for sure.
Yeah, there's a lot of movies out at the moment. Too many for us to cover. If you're excited about hearing about anything from us, certainly tweet at us. I'm on Twitter at @HyphenGrace. Send us a message in the Discord. Ariel's on that other Ariel. We'll be excited to hear what you're excited to be going to the theater and watching. So let us know. We'll be back later this week. I'm Grace. That's Ariel. We are Post Show Recaps. Peter. Bye bye.
Grand Canyon University's RN to BSN online degree program makes earning your bachelor's in nursing possible. Balance online coursework with local in-person clinicals to position yourself for potential leadership opportunities in the time you have from wherever you are, leaving room for what matters. Achieve your goals with your personalized plan and team behind you. Find your purpose at Grand Canyon University. Visit gcu.edu.